But I want to continue to deal with what the Apostle Paul was saying here in the battle. And I'm going to tell you, Jeff alluded to this in Sunday school a little bit. If you don't think we're living in a battle today, you're been hiding under a rock somewhere. Now, I mean, things have been so out of pocket, just being out of pocket in itself here at church, in your life, at work, is enough to create a battle in its own. But then you have an adversary, and we looked at the adversary that we looked in verse 3. For though we walk by faith, let's read that. For though we walk in the flesh, there we go, we do not war after the flesh. And we talked about our adversary that we war with and that we war after, and that was Satan. Well, I know we deal with our flesh. I may come back and deal with that in another message, how we war with our flesh. But we looked and looked at Goliath as a type of our adversary and talked about Satan. And he is after you, by the way. He's chasing you. Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you. They may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. But then he also told us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And listen, we need to be very diligent in that, watching and very vigilant for our adversary. We're doing okay today. Everything all right? Okay, just making sure. We ain't even got started yet. I'm just making sure this morning we're going to be all right. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to preach. We've talked about the adversary. We talked about the weapons, where he talks about in verse 4. In a parenthetical part there, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We preached on that. But today, I want to let's just read these and I'll tell you. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You can be seated this morning. Lord, I ask you to help us now. Touch us and anoint us afresh. Save somebody that's lost. But Lord, these folks sitting here need something from you. I need something from you. And Lord, I believe this would be the message for the hour. And Lord, I know they spoke in here today that's battling and they're struggling. And I pray that you would help them and help us while we might preach. But you have the glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look with me. If you look in verse 4, that is a parenthetical verse. And so Paul stops his thought for just a minute, and he says something. He interjects something right in the middle. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But I want to read something. When he adds that, I'm not trying to change the Word of God by no means, but as he puts that parenthetical piece in there, it's a little extra that he's put in between it. And if you took it out, and again, I'm not trying to change things, it will not change the thought of what he's trying to say. Now, let me read it like this. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. If we took in that parenthetical part, he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I believe that as we look at it from this viewpoint and from this stand, I believe even if you leave the parenthetical part in there, you understand this, that there is a battle and there is a war that goes on in our mind and with our thoughts. I've preached on my mind many times over the years. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm just a preacher with a Bible. Amen? And I'm a preacher with a Bible who fights the devil in his mind. I'm a preacher with a Bible who fights himself in his mind. I'm a preacher with a Bible that just continually has to fight in my mind. And so notice right here, he says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now let me stop right here and say by way of introduction quickly, that puts the ball in our court this morning. He tells us to cast down imaginations. He tells us to cast down every high thing that exalted itself against God. He tells us to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, there is no doubt that God will help us and that to get our mind in a state to where it needs to be. And there's no doubt that He will help us do what needs to be done. But we must put forth the effort and that to get our mind in a place where God would be happy with it. Can I tell you that if you sin, I'll guarantee you that sin starts in your mind. If there's a problem with your heart, I'll guarantee you before that problem got in your heart, it was in your mind before it got there. Everything starts up here. Everything comes in here. It comes in these ears. It comes in these eyes. How we hear and we see and we think with this mind right here, if you let me say that. Now listen, as he talks about our warfare, and we talked about what a warfare was. It was living a military life and having a continual battle or war. Can I tell you that what's in your mind matters? What you dwell on matters. Now, the problem I have is when things come through there that I wish it wasn't there. Have you ever been there? Have you ever? Well, I mean, there's things that happened years ago. They come sliding through your mind. Things that you saw, things that you heard, things that you wished you hadn't seen and heard. And then all of a sudden, new things jump up in your mind that you wish that wasn't there. Now listen, when we get there, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but you cannot dwell on them things, and you must bring those thoughts and those imaginations and that into captivity. That means put it in jail and bring it to the obedience of Christ. You've got to get a hold of it and get rid of it at the same time. Y'all following me this morning? Real quick. All right, listen. Bible talks a lot about the mind. You know that the psalmist David, he said in Psalms 19, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. He said, Lord, the things that I dwell on and the things that I think about and the things that I talk about, let them be acceptable in your sight. He wanted his thinking and that to be right. He wanted what he dwelled on and that to be right. Now the Bible has a lot to say about the mind. Titus chapter 1, he talks about the defiled mind. Colossians 2, he talks about the fleshly mind. Ephesians 4, he talks about being in the vanity of the mind. Romans 8, the carnal mind. Romans 1, the reprobate mind. Proverbs 21, the wicked mind. Daniel 5, the prideful mind. Luke chapter 12, the doubtful mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, the sound mind. Mark chapter 5, the right mind. Colossians 3, humbleness of mind. Philippians 2, he talks about the lowliness of mind and also the mind of Christ that we are to have. In 2 Corinthians 8, he talks about having a ready mind and a willing mind. Acts chapter 20, he talks about humility of the mind. God has a lot to say about the mind. And we can't spend all day preaching on the mind, but if we took all of them, we'd be here all day. But listen, our mind matters. What's in our mind and what we dwell on and what we think about. And listen, you say, I don't know how to fix when things come in that don't belong there. I don't know how to fix that. We're going to deal with that today. And we're going to deal with how to keep a clean mind and a holy mind. Because, you know, he said, Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I want a clean mind. Don't you want a clean mind? I was preaching on this last week just a little bit. And what did I say? There are times that I wish I could just crack my head open, take my brain out, wash it out, and then put it back in. Amen. I mean, there's just times that I think like that. I don't know if you do, but I do think like that. Let me say that before I get started, there is people that have mind trouble. What was it he said in 1 Thessalonians 5? Now exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly and comfort the feeble-minded. I don't always mean folk that are got old and have got dementia. That ain't talking about folk all the time that's got all the time. We need to help those folk that, listen, I've seen that, especially over at the nursing home. You see folk that their mind is leaving them. You don't have to be old to have mind problems. As I just pastor a Baptist church, you will have mind trouble. I'll guarantee you that for sure. Y'all grin. It's okay. It's all right. And maybe it's okay. I'm poking fun at my own self. 1 Samuel chapter 21, David is coming up before the king of Gath over there. He's on the run from King Saul. They take him over to the king of Gath. And, you know, he'd heard about the stories. David heard that the king of Gath had heard that, that he had heard these stories about how that Saul had killed his thousands and David his 10,000s and what he had done to Goliath, all that. They take him over here and you know what David does? And the Bible said in 1 Samuel 21, and he changed his behavior before them and he feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. We would call those people, got to be careful right here to stay politically correct because there's a lot of words we could use right there. But they called him a madman right there. He said he leaned up on the gate over there and he would scratch on the door of the gate and he would let his spittle fall down upon himself. He just drooled upon himself. And if you go read the rest of that, the king asked, why have you even brought him to me? To act this way. You know, he thought David was mad. I thought he was a crazy man. Well, I'm trying to allude to two things here. One, there is people that have that kind of trouble in their mind, whether they were born that way to have mind problems, or whether they've done something or had an accident, to create all this in their mind. But David also had fearfulness in his life when he become before the king over here. And he changed himself. He began to fear and let that rule in his life and that before that king. But I just want to look this morning, if I could, when he talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to preach this morning about the battle that wages in your mind. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Maybe a little different message this morning. I don't know. But Romans chapter 7. And look in verse 14. Romans 7 verse 14. And the Apostle Paul said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. That do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, there is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now he's talking about being in the flesh right here. You have to understand that. If you're going over to Romans 8, he deals with being carnal and he deals with being spiritual. Chapter 6, 7, and 8, you really need to read together to gain everything that Paul is trying to tell us here about the fleshly life and the carnal life. But now if you're going to live in the carnal life, and listen, Paul had flesh just like we do. He had problems in his flesh just like we got problems in ours. But he said that how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Do you understand what's going on right here? Paul says, I want to do good. I struggle to do good. Don't want to do wrong. It seems like that wrong is what I end up doing sometimes. He said, for I delight in the law of God after the inner man. But watch what he says. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my heart. What's your Bible say right there? Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And you can go on down through and read chapter 8 and deal with the carnal mind. He talks about the carnal mind and being spiritual in chapter 8 right there. But listen, he talks about that there is something that is going on in the mind. In verse 23, he says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. I think sometimes when the battle rages in our mind, and I'm talking about the things that we've seen and what we've heard, and I know I harp on that so much. I know that it seems like that I'm just kicking a dead horse sometimes and won't leave it alone. But I want you to understand something, that what you put in your mind, friend, is going to affect your flesh. Listen, it's going to affect how you act. It's going to affect how you react. It's going to affect how you think. Listen, and so it is important to put the right things in your mind. Listen, let me ask you something this morning. If you think wrong, do you think you'll do wrong? I can guarantee you that. If you've got the wrong thought pattern, you'll have the wrong actions. Let me give you an example. If you go over in 2 Kings chapter 5, and you find a man by the name of Naaman who is a leper. And so he to make a long story short, that little maid that was carried off down there to take care of Naaman's wife, she said, "Would to God that my Lord was with the man of God in Samaria. He'd heal him." And so they finally get him over there. Make a long story short, they get him over there to Elisha. He goes up to the front door. He knocks on the front door of Elisha's place. And Elisha sends a preacher boy out there and says, "The man of God said, go dip 7 times down in the River Jordan and your skin will become as clean as a baby's." And the Bible said that Naaman turned around and he went away wroth. And here's what he said. "Behold, I thought." He said, "Behold, I thought that the man of God would come out and strike his hand upon the place of the leper." See, he had it in his mind how something ought to happen. He already had it figured out in his mind how it ought to be. Listen, if I come to church and done had things figured out how things ought to be this morning, I would be severely disappointed. As I come to church every Sunday, still looking for a crowd. I still come to church every Sunday, still looking for it to cut loose in here. I still come here on Sundays, I'm looking for God to do something. By the way, God can always do something if you'll let Him. Amen. We mess up sometimes. We get our thinking out of line. But listen, he come to him and he said, "Surely he will come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Do you realize that because of what he thought, he was going to turn around and walk away? His servants that was with him, his counselors that was with him, they had to what? Change his mind. Well, there's a lot of people walking away from Jesus Christ today because they've got the wrong mindset toward Him. They don't think He can save or that He would save or any of them things. But listen, I know God will save today if they'll come to Him. But that's not what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with the Christian and his mindset. Listen, today, if we have... I feel like I'm going to butcher this if I ain't careful. If you keep a clean mind, I want you to look what he says right here. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." If you put the right stuff in and think on the right thing, Then you should have good thoughts, right? Should have clean thoughts, holy thoughts, pure thoughts. Thoughts that God would be happy with. Do you know that every now and again there's going to be something jump up in there that you wasn't counting on? And wonder where this thing comes from. There is a battle that takes place. Listen, he says casting down imaginations. That word imagine simply means to form a notion or an idea in the mind. Listen, when you imagine something, you have brought it up into your mind, and there's some people I believe what their mind is telling them. I'll give you an example. I've used this example many times. How many of you ever got in your mind that somebody must be mad at you because they didn't talk to you or shake your hand or they snubbed you or they didn't wave at you going down the road or whatever? You got it in your mind that they must be mad at me. You ever done that? I have. I've been honest with you. You know, again, you pastor this church, you talk to a lot of people, you see a lot of people, but again, I go back, you don't know what kind of day that person's having. But we get it in our mind, and you know what? There's been a lot of fights and a lot of at each other, I guess you might say, and a lot of people getting snubbed by one another simply because somebody thought something. Not that it was the truth, they just thought it was the truth. I'm just telling you, you got to be careful what goes on in your mind. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, church. I don't understand. There are things that I don't understand in the spiritual realm that deals with our fleshly body and deals with our mind. And I'm not sure exactly how much access Satan has to our mind. Are you just following me? Now, I'll be honest with you. I would like to say that every thought that comes shooting through my mind, the devil put it in there. But if he's got that much access to my brain and to my mind, that scares me a little bit. But what else scares me is if he don't have access to it, how did it get there? That scares me too. So he talks about we must bring every thought, every imagination, everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So listen, when we're wrong, listen, when we're thinking wrong, we're thinking wrong about God's Word. How we're thinking wrong about what God can do. How we're thinking more about ourselves. How we're thinking more prideful thoughts than we ought to think. He said these is what we've got to get under control. When a person fails for the Lord or out of the Lord's will, it's because they have thought more of their self than they have thought of God. They have thought more of what they wanted to do or what they wanted to have than what God wanted them to do. It's kind of like David. He wanted to number Israel, so you know what he done? He numbered Israel, even though God said, don't number Israel. And even though Joab is standing over here at him and saying, David, don't do this thing. But David wanted to number Israel. So you know what he done? He numbered Israel. You know what ended up happening? God ended up killing 70,000 people because he numbered Israel. Somewhere he got it in his mind that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to do what he wanted to do instead of doing what God wanted him to do. When he talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing the captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and he's wanting us to think right. He's wanting us to think like Christ thinks. How did Christ think? What was it that he said in the book of Philippians over here? Go over with me. Philippians chapter 2. Where is it? Let me get over there. You don't have to go there. I'll read it to you. But what did he say in Philippians chapter 2? He says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. So what are we supposed to have in our mind? Humility. That's what he's talking about right there. When he talks about having the mind of Christ, if there was ever a man that could have made himself a reputation, if there was ever a person who could have lifted himself up and say, look at what I've done, look at what I've accomplished, it was Christ Jesus the Lord. But he said his mind, I was one of a servant, and his mind was one of humility. So when we bring things under to the obedience and that of Christ, then we bring it to a place of humility. I don't like being prideful, do you? Even when I know I'm right, There's been times I've been right, and I know I was right. And I said so. And then, boy, I felt bad about it. What do you mean? Because I shouldn't have said so. Now, there are times to make you stand when it comes to this Scripture, okay? There are times to make you stand. That's not what I'm talking about. Let me see how I can try and think how to put this for you to understand it. Let's go back to that Scripture that Paul talks about over here when he talks about going to your brother with the law. He says you got believers going before unbelievers to be judged. And he says, can't you set a judge up in the church that can discern? He said, take the least among you and set him up as a judge and let them judge. And he says, and if they can't judge, he said, if you can't find a judge, he said, then suffer the wrong. How many of us want to do that? How many of us would have such a love for God's Word or a place of humility in our mind that even though we know that we were right, we knew that we were right, what we were talking about or what we done or what happened, but yet, to keep the mind of Christ, we would suffer the wrong. How many of us would do that? Well, it's a hard question to answer, ain't it? I don't think that's what he was talking about. That's exactly what he was talking about. Go back over and read that Scripture. It's hard to suffer wrong when you know that you're right. But he's talking about our mind. Boy, this thing ain't going nowhere like I thought it would. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There is a battle for your mind and for mine to think wrong and then to act wrong. There is a battle for our mind that we struggle in our mind, and not only to think wrong and to act wrong, but then to have something captivate it and take it away to where we cannot serve God. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you have ever been worried? How many of you have ever suffered with anxiety? How many of you have ever had depression or discouragement? Or to say that the other way around, discouragement generally comes before depression does. Do you know that all those are in your mind? Now they may manifest themselves. There may be actions that manifest themselves out into your body, but all those things are in your mind. Anxiety, worry, depression, despondency, oppression. I was listening to a preacher the other day. He was preaching on depression and oppression and some kind of other pressure. I can't remember what it was, but he said all of them got the same thing in common. They've got the word press in them, don't they? Those things press into your mind and won't let go. My wife, she reminds me, she says, your problem is, and she's exactly right, after being married for almost 26 years, she knows that you dwell on things. She says, you just dwell on things. You think about them too much. Can I ask you something? Why do we dwell on bad things and not dwell on good things? Why is it our mind gets captivated with what might go wrong, but it never gets captivated with what will probably go right? Again, I'm not trying to be a psychiatrist. I'm just asking you some questions this morning. Does your mind think that way, or is mine the only one that does that? If my mind's the only one that does that, I'm going to shut my Bible and go home. You all are in great shape. Why is that? Why is it that we always run to the bad instead of running to the good sometimes? Now you know what I do and what I've had to learn to do over the years? When I see my mind headed toward the bad, then I try to turn that thing and run it to the good. He said, take that thought and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What do you think he said in the book of Philippians? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. It's up here, ain't it? He goes back and he says, right here is what you need to think on. 1 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19. What is Elijah doing? 1 Kings chapter 16, he comes out on the scene. Prays that it might not rain. By the time we get over to chapter 18, they're up there on Mount Carmel. They're having a contest between Baal and between God. Take your Bible and go over. I want to show you something. Go over there with me. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Now he's getting all the prophets gathered in. And they're up there, and boy, they're gonna have a showdown like you ain't never seen. And verse 21, and Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Alright, he gives them a thing to do. Stay with me, stay in that verse. Because I want you to see the next part. What happens? He said, if God be God following, if Baal's God following, but then look what he said, verse 21, and the people answered him not a word. Kind of like the preacher preaching, and he don't even get a head shake, or he don't get an amen, or he don't get nothing. Everybody's got their head down. I was into a preacher preaching on that not too long ago. I don't want to take credit for this because it came from him. But he said, reckon what Elijah was thinking was going to happen. When he said, if Baal be God, let him be God. But if God be God, let him be God. And nobody said nothing. Could hear a pin drop. What happens? We all know the story. They begged Baal to come down and answer by fire. They begged him all day. We got to the time of the evening sacrifice. Elijah rebuilt the altar of God on Mount Carmel. He prayed 63 words and God answered by fire and licked up all the dirt, the rocks, the water, everything. He runs into Jezreel after he goes a little further on top of Mount Carmel and he prays until his servant comes out there and said, I see a cloud like it unto a man's hand. He said, go tell Ahab he better get to Jezreel. It's fixing to rain. And Ahab, and Elijah beat Ahab back to Jezreel. Run. But then the next day, Elijah gets a letter from Jezebel and says, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as thy life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. He's seen God answer by fire. He's prayed that it might rain, and it did rain. But now Jezebel has sent him a letter, and he's reading it. What happens to him? What do you think Elijah was thinking through all this? There's a war that goes on in your mind. There was a war that started in Elijah's mind. A lot of people say, well, he shouldn't have run. If he wouldn't have run, Jezebel would have kept her word. I do want you to remember that. But I also think God would have kept him. But that's not the message for today. So what's he do? He goes out. Him and his servant goes out. Bible said that he arose in verse 3 and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. So he's not only on the run, but he removed himself from everybody else being around him. That's not a good place to be sometimes. You get in your prayer closet and shut the door, that's a good place to be by yourself. You want to meditate on the Word of God, you're going to probably have to be by yourself. But when you're on the run and you're in a battle, one of the worst things that you can ever do is separate yourself and get by yourself and be alone. Because you know what happens then? That battle in that mind begins to rage and begin to twist and begin to turn. So he gets by himself. We know the story if you've read your Bible. He says, he talks to the Lord and he says, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father. Might as well just kill me, Lord. I'm not no better. And we know what God does. He has to make a big trip, but he finally gets there. Elijah does. When I studied this, thinking about anxiety and worry and depression and all those things, and if you look at Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, that's Samuel's mother. The Bible said she fretted. That means to wear away at. At fret. That word fret means to wear away. What is in your mind that's just wearing away at you? You got something in your mind that's just wearing away? It just rubs on you? It just rubs and rubs and rubs and rubs. And you can't seem to fix it. You can't seem to take care of it. You can't seem to get rid of it. You ever wonder about that? You know what Paul said to do in Romans chapter 12? He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is going to afflict you and bother you. And Satan's going to use it against you. And he's going to show you things that you probably don't need to look at sometimes. Whether it's on a billboard. Have you ever looked at a billboard and said, man, I wish I'd never seen that. You remember what he told Peter over there? When he was washing his disciples' feet. What did Peter say? Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And the Lord said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, I'll have no part with you. You have no part with me. And then Peter being Peter, he said, well then, Lord, just wash all of me. Hey, boy, Peter was from one extreme to another, wasn't he? And you know what the Lord said? Peter, he says, you don't need to be washed all over if you're clean. He says, you just need your feet washed. You've been traveling on dirty road. He said, the rest of you is clean. But your feet's dirty. You know, sometimes we see things that we shouldn't see, and sometimes we hear things that we shouldn't hear, and it wasn't by design that we done that. If you listen to things you shouldn't listen to, and see things that you shouldn't see, and you're doing that by design because you want to, there's something wrong with you. If you're watching stuff on TV, or listening to stuff on the radio, or on the phone, or whatever it is, there's a heart problem there. Hey, listen, when I see something I'm not supposed to, the Holy Spirit jumps up on me inside of me and says, hey, you don't need to be looking at this. You don't need to be watching this or listening to this. You can ask my wife. I'm very careful anymore for what I will put in my mind, for what I will watch and what I will listen to, because I'm afraid of how it's going to affect my mind. I'm just honest. I mean, it may not affect me now. I'm worried about what it's going to do to me 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, 20 years down the road. I don't want that memory to jump up on me at a very inconvenient time. So I just don't try to put it in there. One fellow said it's like a computer, but I'll tell you it's like a museum. If it was a computer, you could hit the erase button and it would be gone. But in a museum, they take all that stuff, they put it in the back there, they put a towel over it, and they hold it until they want to bring it out. And then they put a little easel up, they take the towel off of it, and they set it up, and say, we brought it out of the back room. You know, that's what happens to your mind. They stuff that's stored in the back room, it's got a towel over it, and you never think of it. But then there comes a day that all of a sudden the towel gets jerked off of it, and they set it up for nothing. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me how it works, because I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. Just a preacher with a Bible this morning. That knows that our mind is very important. Paul talks about having a renewed mind. He says, be not conformed to this world. Now, if we go back to verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we find that if we do not renew our mind, then we're going to end up being conformed to this world. But if we renew our mind, what does that mean to renew? That word renew means to renovate or to restore to a good state after decay. It means to make new or fresh or vigorous, such as to renew your strength or to re-establish. Your mind is kind of like the rest of your flesh. You eat to find strength. Right? We cater to this flesh because we eat, we take care of it, we don't want it to hurt, we're doing everything right now to keep it from catching COVID, ain't we? I am. We social distance, we use hand sanitizer, we wash our hands. But why do we not do our mind the same way? Why do we not protect our mind the same way? He says you have to renew your mind. When we renew our mind, that means that we're putting fresh, good things in there. Any of this making sense to y'all this morning? I hope so. I hope so. All I want you to see is that when we think on those things that the Lord gives us in Philippians chapter 4, when we think on those things, then it cleans our mind and it puts us in the right direction. How do I renew my mind? I read the Word of God. How do I renew my mind? I think on the works of God. How do I renew my mind? I listen and that to good things that God has gave us. And then I try to keep my mind busy. I try to fellowship with people that are God's people. I want to be around people that love God. You say, well, how am I supposed to go to work? Because I know some of you are on the job and you're going to have vile and wicked people on your job. Their mouth is going to do nothing but spew wickedness and vileness, and how they're going to cuss every other breath, if not every breath. And then you've got to listen to all that. And it gets put in. Be honest with you, I'd pray for some boldness to talk to them about their mouth. If you can't do that, then pray that God give you another job. I wouldn't want to be around that stuff. One of the blessings that I have in doing what I'm doing is I do get to be around godly people. But listen, I believe that I would think on the Word of God. If you go over to Psalms chapter 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He reads the Word of God. She reads the Word of God. They think on the Word of God. When you worry, what do? When anxiety, and boy, if we're ever living in a time where people's got anxiety, isn't it? They don't know if we're up or down or in between and everything else. I'm not making light of it. I'm just telling you, it is what it is. The Bible's full of it. Go back there and read Psalms. Go read the book of Psalms and see how many times that David was up one day and he was on the bottom the next, and the next day he didn't know what he was going to do. Some preachers want you to live like everything's always that you... Let me see how I can say this without blaming God for something here. It ain't His fault. We sometimes get the idea that life is always going to be smooth and that there's never going to be a worry or concern jump into our life. Should we worry? No. We should not worry to the point to where it captivates our mind and takes us and keeps us from doing what we should be doing. Should we be concerned? Sure. There's some things we should be concerned about. I guarantee you, Lord, you know, if they told me I had cancer, I'd be very concerned about that. Trust me, I'd be trying to find every doctor in the world that could help me with that situation. To worry about it, you can't change it. But he said this godly man right here, he done what? He delighted in the law of the Lord, and then he meditated on it day and night. He thought of it all the time. You know how to keep your mind clean? Think on the Word of God. You know the only way you can think on the Word of God is to have read the Word of God. And to that, memorize the Word of God. Let me ask you this. How much time do you spend in the Word of God versus how much time you either spend on the phone or in front of the TV or listening to something or doing exactly what you want to do, but how much time do you spend in the Word of God? You know, this book cannot be called back to your memory
If you've not heard it, seen it, read it, done something with it? Isaiah 26, he said, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Does our mind stay focused on God? He said, whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, one of the things that helps me when I get into a place of I don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to happen, or I get a little fearful about situations. You know, I think back to where God's showed up before. David said, I'll meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. David said, I'll think back, I'll meditate on what you've done before, and I'll talk about what you've done. You know why I like to tell people, and I like to preach on why God's answered my prayers sometimes? Because sometimes I need to be reminded of what God's done for me. I've got a book in my study. It's just a little old book. And one day I was just in such a state of mind. It's just a bad state of mind. Let me say that. It was a bad state of mind. I said, you know, Mark, the only way you're going to get out of this thing is to remember what God's done for you. I just started writing her down. I started remembering things where God had answered this prayer, wrote it down. God answered this prayer, wrote it down. I seen God move this day. I wrote it down. But before it's over with, I had turned page and keep on writing. You know, sometimes what will help your mind and settle your mind and renew your mind is just remember what God's done in the past. It'll help bring you out of that where you're at. There's a battle wages in your mind and wars in your mind. And if it can captivate you and keep you from serving Christ, it will. All I want, all I'm trying to get you to see today, and like I say, I want a good mind, I want a clean mind, and I want one that is turned toward the Lord and not one toward this world. And there is a battle that wages up here and rages up here that we got to protect it. How's your mind this morning? How's your mind? Let's bow our heads this morning. I don't know what you're going to do with this message this morning. I know it's scattered. I ain't going to have no music. But if you need to come and pray, I want you to come and pray. Your mind, the devil will get in your mind and try to lead you away from God. You might even get in your mind and try to get away from God. Go do something that you want to do. Worry captivates you. Anxiety. I didn't even spend a lot of time with depression. If you go read Psalms 42, man, he was up and down all in the same chapter in Psalms 42. Couldn't find God. Wondered where God was. But there is a war that rages in your mind and rages in my mind. And God wants to help you with it. With everybody praying, if you need to come pray this morning, say, I just need to come get some help. I just want God to help me. He'll help you this morning. If there's something in you telling you that you don't need to get saved, it's you don't have to get saved, it's lying to you. You're lying to yourself. The devil's lying to you. You need to trust the Lord this morning. If you got mind issues, mind struggles, and it's waging and raging in your mind, read your Bible. Study your Bible. You've got to make yourself do that. Meditate on it. Think on it. Listen to good singing. Be around good people. It'll help you. It'll renew your mind. Anybody need to come?